The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen. The text for our sermon today is based on the Gospel lesson, John chapter 2, verses 1 to 11. On the third day, there was a wedding in Cana of Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there. Now both Jesus and his disciples were invited to the wedding. And when they ran out of wine, the mother of Jesus said to him, "They have no wine." Jesus said to her, "Woman, what does your concern have to do with me? My hour has not yet come." His mother said to the servants, "Whatever he says to you, do it." Now there were set there 6 water pots of stone, according to the manner of purification of the Jews, containing 20 or 30 gallons apiece. Jesus said to them, "Fill the water pots with water." And they filled them up to the brim. And he said to them, "Draw some out now, and take it to the master of the feast." And they took it. When the master of the feast had tasted the water that was made wine, and did not know where it came from, but the servants who had drawn the water knew, the master of the feast called the bridegroom. And he said to him, "Every man at the beginning sets out the good wine, and when the guests have well drunk, then the inferior. You have kept the good wine until now." This beginning of signs Jesus did in Cana of Galilee, and manifested his glory, and his disciples believed in him. Lord God, Heavenly Father, sanctify us through your truth. Your word is truth. Amen. Dear friends in Christ, what is happening to our Australian homes? This is a question which many people ask apprehensively. I would surprisingly answer for you today, nothing new. Sure, there are homes that are in a state of complete disintegration, but there have been such homes in every generation that has preceded us. For every unhappy home, there are a number of happy ones. After all, have we not been saying for years that marriages are made in heaven? If it is true that the home is established by God and enjoys his blessing, then certainly we cannot believe that this divine institution should suddenly have completely lost everything that is expected of it by him who instituted it. Sure, the devil is still on the loose, and how he hates Christian homes. He has no intention of resting in his efforts to destroy this heaven-inspired foundation of society. And even though many homes and families are showing signs of interior decay, we ought not to be pessimistic about our Australian way of life. We should admit that marriage and the home is wonderful, for after all, it is a gift of God. Why should we not rejoice in the advantages that we enjoy? Have ever any people enjoyed such economic prosperity as we have? Certainly we have all the basic needs to make our homes comfortable and pleasant. Of course, it would be foolish to deny that this prosperity has brought many changes in this institution of marriage. Perhaps we may even have to admit that not all these alterations have been for the best. But surely many of them have provided a real contribution to our homes. The things that Christians need to do, and the Lord wants them to do, is to use his blessings in such a way that the home will be benefited. If we approach our text with this in mind, we shall be profited by a study of a lesson which has been part of our gospel readings since the days of our childhood. The theme for today is, "Make yours a Cana home." May the Lord bless a meditation. Firstly, Jesus will be there. Jesus is needed. Jesus should be very dear to you, so that like the great Apostle Paul, you count all things lost for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord. You have become acquainted with the tender love of Jesus, a love so overwhelming, so all-embracing, that it extends to all people. The invitation in Matthew chapter 11, verse 28, "Come to me, all you who labour and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." You are aware of his kindness and his mercy as manifested to all with whom he dealt during his earthly ministry. You know him as a gracious God, whose almighty power and omniscient eye is with you daily as you travel through life and guards you from unseen harm and danger. But above all, you have learned to know Jesus as your Saviour. Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Oh, what a joy it is for you to step in all humility before the cross on Calvary and there to see the crucified Jesus and to know that, chief of sinners though I be, Jesus shed his blood for me. Oh, how you need Jesus. Truly you must say, I need thee every hour. Jesus must be invited. This loving Saviour will come into your home when he is invited. We are told that a certain young couple was about to establish a home in Cana. So the plans for the marriage were made. Their guest list was prepared. Jesus, his mother, and his disciples were invited. A wise couple indeed, who extended the invitation of Jesus to attend their wedding. This happy couple, in laying the foundation for their home, did only what was customary when they invited a rabbi to their marriage. How fortunate they were in the choice of their rabbi, for they chose Jesus, who truly made possible the happy relationship between God and his people, as symbolised in the marriage of husband and wife. Jesus, the Saviour of the world. We need to invite Jesus into our homes. It must be that Jesus is the head of the house, the unseen guest at every meal, the silent listener to every conversation. But how can we extend this invitation to Jesus to become a guest in our home? Let us remember the desire which the Lord has expressed. To Abraham he said, I will be with you and bless you. Through the prophet Jeremiah he declared, I will be your God and you shall be my people. Through St. Paul, the voice voiced this longing of his in these words, I will be a father to you and you shall be my sons and daughters. You see then the Lord has the overwhelming desire to be in our homes. All that remains is for us to extend the invitation. Abide, O faithful Saviour, among us with thy love. If we have not already, at the time of our marriage, given the invitation, we may still do so. Jesus is an unusual guest, unlike any other person whom we may invite. At some times, perhaps, you have been invited to a function and have reason to believe that your invitation was a result of an afterthought. You felt hurt and decided not to go. It is not so with Jesus. True, he is grieved when people do not immediately invite him to be a guest in their home, and yet he is glad to come when finally they do ask him to be present. So make him an abiding guest. Having asked Jesus into your homes, make room for him that he may become a permanent guest there. Jesus has no desire to be just an afternoon caller. He wants to be a permanent house guest, and to be considered so by all the members of the household. He desires that father, mother and children should be conscious of his presence. His presence will then mean something. What evidence is there in your homes to show that Jesus is your guest? I trust, of course, that in your homes you have a picture of your beautiful Saviour or even a crucifix to remind you constantly of his presence. And a house guest is spoken to. Family prayers are important because they assure Jesus that his presence is desired. A loved guest is heard when he speaks. Blessed indeed is a family who lets Jesus speak to them through his word in their family devotions. What a joy when all members of the family take part in this worship service. What a fine training for greater Christian activity. Jesus' presence influences the home. The presence of Jesus gives new significance to the home. It will indeed become a shelter from the world, a haven from the storms of life. It develops into a place of peace and contentment. Jesus makes that home a shrine of love. When the loving Saviour is addressed daily by the members of the family, their attitude to one another will greatly be improved. They will be more considerate of one another, for they will be conscious of the sacrificing love of Jesus. Their remembrance of his cross will remind them to apply the principle of his great sermon of love to their dealings with one another. The hymnist wrote, O blessed home, where man and wife together lead a godly life, by deeds their faith confessing. There many a happy day is spent, there Jesus gladly will consent to tarry with his blessing. So secondly, Jesus will help. Troubles do arise. On the day when you were married and received the Lord's blessing for your new home, you saw before you only a bed of roses. Lo and behold, it was not long before you were disillusioned. The young couple at Cana did not even see the end of their wedding day before the ugly head of trouble was raised. In their planning, it seems, they had not provided enough wine for all of the guests, and so they found themselves in an embarrassing situation. What should they do? I am sure the difficulties which have arisen in your homes have been of a different nature, but I hope that when those difficulties arise, you did not do what we are so prone to do, to seek help first from human sources. I am not saying that we should not turn to our friends and permit them to assist us in times of trouble, but that should not be the first thing we do. No, at a time like that, we cannot afford to delay doing what the mother of Jesus did. Jesus must be told. Mary came to Jesus and told him of the difficulty that confronted the young couple. It would be a mistake on our part if we concluded that Mary was confident that her son would perform a miracle. But Mary had learned during those years that Jesus was at home with her, that he could be trusted. And so she put her full confidence in him, believing that his good sense would find a solution. Surely Mary's request, "They have no wine," was made in sincere faith, for she believed that Jesus could and would help. What a lesson for us. No matter what our adversities may be, let us take them to Jesus. Nothing is too insignificant for him. He rejoices when you bring your troubles to him in prayer. Yes, what a friend we have in Jesus, all our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. Oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear, all because we do not carry everything to God in prayer. Thus we show our guest what a complete confidence we have in him. Yet when we hear the manner in which Jesus replied to his mother, we perhaps wonder whether Jesus really cares. What our loving Saviour said to his mother, he spoke to teach us another important lesson. Wait patiently. When we are distressed by some perplexing situation, we often find that help is slow in coming. Our difficulty stays with us. The longer we wait, the less sure we are that assistance is forthcoming. Jesus replied to his mother, "Woman, what does your concern have to do with me?" Have you perhaps had this experience too? Has it ever seemed to you that the Lord had no intention of helping you out of your particular distress? Listen, Jesus added a word of hope. "My hour has not yet come." Jesus indicated to her that when his hour did come, then he would help. Mary caught the promise implied. So she went to the servants and said, "Whatever he says to you, do it." What a demonstration of faith. And Jesus does help. Our gracious friend always has a way to assist us. I am sure that you have experienced what this young couple at Cana experienced that day. You have had your dilemmas and have taken them to the Lord, and then you suddenly discovered that you were relieved and you hardly knew how it happened. The young couple may never have known what happened behind the scenes, but we know. The Lord has revealed to us what Jesus did and how he commanded the water pots to be filled, and how this water was turned into wine. Surely there can be nothing more consoling than to be able to entrust our troubles calmly to Jesus, knowing that he will find a way out. He will show us the way we are to go, which no doubt will include the use of human aids that he has provided for us. When there is sickness, we may go to our doctor or health physician, but we should remember that behind the scenes, it is Jesus who provides the help. So let me then ask you, have you made yours a Cana home? Have you invited Jesus into your home? Is his presence continually felt in your home? Does your home know where to turn in time of trouble? Will you remember that difficulties are necessary to make yours a true Cana home? Above all, will you always remember what you must do when those difficulties arise? May God give us an appreciation of our own homes and move us to adjust them to the one in Cana for even greater blessing and happiness. Amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, will keep our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.